It's the second hour of the 9 to noon show on Highland Radio. You're very welcome to the programme. 086 60 25,000 for your text or WhatsApp messages. 0749 125,000 or 00353749125,000, depending on your location. If you want to call us, Caroline producing and taking your calls, Shannon taking your calls this morning as well. Just a few comments and little bits to get through before we go to the bingo numbers, which are coming up very shortly. Congratulations to Jason McGahill on winning the Glor Tira final on TG Cahir last night. Proud night again for the county. Well done, Jason, and congratulations to you. Would it be possible to get a happy birthday call out to Elaine Devlin today, 47. She's driving to Belfast for work this morning, where there'll be a takeaway waiting when she gets home from her four boys, Connor, Dara, Oren and Gavin. We love you, Mammy. I see a European candidate already has posters up. Is this allowed? I'm not quite sure what the legal situation is, but yeah, we can expect to see a lot more posters starting to move up. And as I was travelling up the country from Cork up towards Donegal, and there's quite a few people actually have posters up in various places. I could give you the names of quite a few European election candidates now at this point, and a couple of locals as well. Great news that Donegal has got €2.8 million for local improvement. I wonder if any of the money is allocated to Inishowen. One example we have is part of the Crana River on Cork Hill, Bunkrana, blocked by falling trees, one in the recent storm, the rest from the bad flood 67 years ago. A total disgrace, and no department does anything to resolve the situation. Beggars belief, and thank you for airing my view. Now, yes, some of that LIS money will go to the Inishowen Municipal District. However, it cannot be used for what you've just outlined there. The LIS scheme is very specifically there to help do repairs on lanes and smaller roads in local areas that are not under the control of Donegal County Council. So effectively farmers can apply for money to get work done on a lane. There may be two or three houses down a lane or farms or whatever. So it's very specific local improvement projects that are applied for on a local basis by people. And it can't be used by the council for other general maintenance work. Lee already mentioned this, but I just want to give a mention to the fact that tomorrow, Thursday, the 9 till noon show is on the road. Greg will be live from Genesis Aesthetic Sin In and Hair Studio in Bumbeggan Goodor to celebrate their 30th anniversary in business. They're offering 30% off full price treatments on the day, booking in the salon only. Be in with a chance to win a hamper worth over €400 fundraiser collection on the day, with all proceeds in aid of the Donegal Cancer Flight Service. There'll be a live DJ, goodie bags valued at €30, bubbles, nibbles and cake. And Greg will be at the Genesis Aesthetic Skincare and Hair Studio in Bunbeg, Ecuador, tomorrow from, as the name of the programme suggests, 9 till noon. Yesterday, there was a question asked about qualification for the electricity allowance. And I said my understanding was that it was universal, and I was open to correction. And someone said, yes, if you're a low unit user, you don't qualify. I own a holiday home and that's the situation I'm in. And another caller indeed has backed that up. Not everyone can qualify. You have to use a certain number of units. I know this. When I went to apply, I was told I don't use enough electricity units. Now, yesterday we spoke to Karina, who is the aunt and godmother of Rebecca Brown. And Rebecca was sadly killed when she was hit by a Gartha car at Ludden Bunkrana in May of last year. Now, the matter was referred to GSOC, and we had contacted GSOC to see if we could get a statement, because the family are saying there's not enough information about. We've had a statement this morning from GSOC, the Gartha Síochána Ombudsman Commission, and I'll read that statement to you. The matter was referred to GSOC on the morning of Sunday 21st of May 2023 by An Gartha Síochána. It remains under investigation by GSOC. Investigations into incidents such as this require time and care, and GSOC's priority is to ensure that the investigation is as thorough as possible. In the context of a live investigation, there are significant restrictions placed upon an investigative agency with regard to what it may disclose to interested parties. This is to ensure that the integrity of the investigation and of any statutory processes that may arrive from it is preserved. The investigation team and family liaison officers will continue to liaise with the Brown family and their appointed representatives, providing them with updates on the investigation as they arise. GSOC is not in a position to comment further. And that is a statement, as I say, that we've received from GSOC. Earlier in the programme, we had Maria Walsh, MEP, in studio with us. And a caller says, please ask Maria Walsh why she is not in Strasbourg doing her job with her fellow MEPs this week. Very important votes going on. And Maria is in Ireland. What's wrong with the water in the stream going through Barnesmore Gap? It looks very green and dirty, so says a caller. And caller says, Maria, if we are silent on abortion, we are complicit with it too. Legal does not equal right. Abortion is genocide. Also, over 30,000 babies killed over the last 3 or 4 years. That's some slaughter in Ireland. I do empathise with those suffering and killed in Gaza and Israel, but it's out of our hands. But we can lower the figure for abortion. And that comes from Margaret. You'll have heard on the news this morning with Michaela that Minister Dara O'Brien has directed Donegal County Council to make a number of changes to the Letterkenny Plan and Local Transport Plan, which were both adopted earlier this year. 6 recommendations were subsequently sent to the Minister by the Office of the Planning Regulator. And in the case of 4 of those recommendations, the Minister has directed Donegal County Council to make changes to the plan. I'm joined on the line by Councillor Paul Canning, who is the chair of the Planning Strategic Policy Committee on Donegal County Council. And at that committee recently, there was a lot of discussion on this particular issue. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Donald. How are you?
Very well indeed. Thank you, Paul. I happened to attend the meeting at which this was discussed. I also attended the meeting in Lifford that the Letterkenny Plan and Transport Plan were discussed at. Effectively, what we have here, Paul, and you can give some background here, but we have 6 decisions were taken by councillors, contrary, it has to be said, to the recommendations of the draft plan prepared by officials. And the Office of the Planning Regulator said, no, we don't want to see this happen. So they passed on recommendations to the minister. Just tell us, first of all, how that process worked.
Yeah, well, that process worked. And so far as we, as you well know, we go through the plan in great detail, and the draft plan in great detail. And then we kind of nip and tuck at a lot of the plan. And then we put it forward. The planning within Donegal County Council make their own recommendations and come back to us and says yes, no, maybe. And then after that, if we disagree with our own planning, we then send it further to the planning regulator, who sort of backs up what the planning says at times. And then the planning regulator, then he will be informing the minister. So in relation to this situation, like, I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised. You know, it's a knockback from the planning regulator, not even though the minister has signed off on it, he is basing his opinions on what the planning regulator is saying. You know, and we're a group of councillors, and we've tried to be as constructive and as proactive in the development of Letterkenny. But listen, Donald, similar to the 4-lane and going into Letterkenny, we voted against the 4-lane for the reason that we're seeing today. But I think the same thing is going to happen in relation to the non-development of the sites. Now, the 4 sites that you've made, the 6 sites, we'll say, were the 4 sites that have been knocked back. Right, just to give you a very quick overview, the site out at Creve, we have already residential development in that area with all of the infrastructure in place. We just wanted to keep the option open to build more houses, which was, you know, simple thinking. In relation to the second site, which was at Castle Bain, that is an infill site that could have catered for a number of dwellings, easy, you know, low-hanging fruit as well. In relation to the third site, which is Ballymacool, well, the amount of existing dwellings in and around that area, we wanted to zone an area that we could develop a school campus going forward. Rather than have everyone driving into the cathedral area causing traffic congestion, you know, and listen, the boys in Dublin, we must remember that we're not a city with a DART service or a bus every 10 minutes. So the parents, understandably, are not going to allow their 5-year-old walk to school. So we were trying to bring the school out to areas that have large populations, which Ballymacool had going into the future. In relation to the fourth site, in Bunnagee, we had wanted to zone the area out in Bunnagee for general employment and for commercial. You know, this was a knockback. It was knocked back because of the flood zone reasons. Again, we already have the mitigation in place. The sites are already established. Businesses out there are looking to extend or start up. They'll have to move into the centre of town. I don't think that makes planning sense for any large industry. Mm-hmm. So, these things that we're on the ground, all of the Letterkenny councillors, to be fair to them, put in a massive amount of work into this plan. And to get those knockbacks, you know, we do welcome the Glencairn Scots and the Kelly Club.
And they're both in terms of housing and residential.
But that was a penalty kick, Donal, in my opinion, you know. So I think, you know, just to give you the way the actual regulator and the national planning are thinking. Their whole rationale of the development plan is based on sequential town centre first, walking distance to all services. That's all very fine if the planning authority automatically granted planning permission for areas that they zoned without third-party objection. But unfortunately, that's not the case on the ground. At present, we have over 70,000 housing units under appeal within Bord Pleanála. So these decisions could take years, and then they can be appealed to the court. So we wanted to open Letterkenny up for development and not give the anomaly to one or two sites that can call their price. And that's where we were at as councillors. You know, and again, Donald, I'm sorry for going on a wee bit, but planning has made me think, and I could chat for weeks on it, but we must bear in mind too, the new planning bill, in my opinion, is more than likely to recommend these development plans will be enforced for 10 years, you know. And 10 years, Donald, some of us will have a bus pass by then, but we, you know, we do have the option of bringing a variation to this plan, right, after in the new group. So we have a lot of positive items within this plan. It's just a pity that the planning regulator, you know, went against us on those four sites.
So what happens now, what happens now is that effectively the plan, the text that's been passed and adopted by the council is amended in the case of Creve, Castlebaine, Ballymacool and Bunagee, that it's amended and the original wording that was in the draft plan produced by the council planners and the chief executive, that now goes into the plan. There is no other recourse. It's correct. Now a ministerial direction, so there is no further recourse that the council can take.
No, that's correct. So that's what I'm saying. The new council, they can start the process, you know, of a variation from the get-go of the new plan. So whenever they get elected and they're on there, you know, they can start that and say, listen, we're still not happy. We want to vary the plan, because I put in a stronger argument for those sites, because they'll discover that, you know, other areas, they'll not be in a position to get developed that has been zoned because of objections, because of this and because of that. So they'll be in a position whenever, and they'll have a 5 year to get their head around it, etc. You know, and hopefully there's still a few of the older crew on there to guide them through it. Like, but we then at that point in time, a variation, like if there's sites there, because there is, in my opinion, there's stonewall sites that should remain within their zone, within them commercial sites out in Bunagee. Like,
yeah.
Where are we going to put the businesses in the centre of the town? You know, so that's where I was disappointed. Yeah. But because it's out far out from the town centre, I wasn't I wasn't surprised.
We know
that's their policy, but that's all right. Yeah. You in Dublin and Cork and them bigger cities, you know. But this is Letterkenny we're trying to develop.
We know that a new council, as you said, will be in place after the summer. Within a number of months, 10 at the absolute most, possibly less, we'll have a new government. So it could be a different minister in 2025. So a new council could propose a variation. It could go through all the various hoops and channels again. And it could be a different minister who's making the directions in 2025, 2026. Is there a chance you believe that these recommendations and, well, these directions now from Dara O'Brien could be overturned, or is this going to be a matter of decisions made by civil servants and the minister just rubber stamping them?
Yes, you're 100% right there. The planning regulator is going to be the same planning regulator, but I think we have to go back in and give a better, you know, make a better argument for the betterment of the town, because the minister, as I said to you at the offset, the minister only signs off on recommendation that's coming up from his civil servants. That's the case. I mean, you know, they have a little bit of movement, but not that much movement, and they can't be going about shouting national policy, and then go against their own national policy on maybe a couple of local items that we want. So it's trying to get the balance right, you know, and bear in mind in the national planning framework, there was a paragraph in it that said that any land that was previously zoned or not for residences shouldn't be taken out of the town plan, which has happened in Letterkenny, but we made that argument, but it fell on deaf ears. So we still have to continue to make that argument, you know, and that's where we're at. But also, Donald, just I know I'm going to move away from Letterkenny just for a second, but on a final note, I would urge, see the smaller towns that we have out in the county for them to start the process of doing their own master plan for the purpose of applying for funding, because that is now the policy is going to dictate the funding. So you have to get your policies in place. So all them smaller towns out around the county, I think they just start getting together and do a master plan for the village, because that's, you see in Newton Cunningham's punching above its weight regarding development, and that is why, because they're a master plan in place. So we have to go down that route of doing the plan first, and we have to get the plan right, because the policy has to be right, because whenever you're going out to get planning permission, the planner is going to say, hold on, the policy says this, we can't go against the policy. And that's where we have to put hours upon hours into getting it right.
Councillor Paul Canning, thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Donald. Thank you.
Now, we're going to completely change tack, because during the paper review, I referenced the fact that over 400 Irish artists, musicians, dancers, authors, etc. have signed an open letter to Bambi Thug, Ireland's representative in the Eurovision Song Contest next month, asking them not to participate in the Eurovision Song Contest due to the participation of Israel. I'm joined on the line by singer and actor Mary Cochran, one of the signatories. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, at last. How are you?
Absolutely. Mary, thanks indeed for joining us on the show this morning. Mary, you're one of over 400 people who have signed this letter to Bambi Thug, asking them not to participate in next month's Eurovision Song Contest. What's the basic thrust of the letter? Mary, I'm really sorry. We can't hear a word you're saying. It is a most horrendously bad line. I'm going to shut this one down.
I know. I told you to call me on WhatsApp. You have to call me on.
No, I have you. No, I have you now. I have you now. Thanks very much. No, that sounds.
I live in the mountains.
Oh, I appreciate and understand that. Important from your point of view that Bambi Thug heeds the letter.
Well, I think it would be an amazing gesture if she did, and think what it would be like to be remembered for the artist that stood up to the entire lot of them, you know. In fact, it shouldn't be her responsibility. The European Broadcasting Union have a responsibility. They, and everyone is saying the song contest is not political, you know. But they made it political when they banned Russia forever and ever and ever because of what they did in Ukraine. So I don't see, I think the double standards there and the pressure from America, that America is exerting on countries all over the world, and their support for Israel. People are like afraid of them. America is behaving appallingly in this situation. I think it would be, and we have called on her, 400 of us, but we're only part of thousands and thousands and thousands of artists that have called on people all over the world to refrain from entering the song competition. We've all broadcasted.
The letter does make the letter makes the point
on her.
Yeah. The letter makes the point that the President of Israel has spoken of the importance of the Eurovision Song Contest, and one of it seems that's because the Eurovision Song Contest will give Israel legitimacy, and that's a legitimacy you believe Israel does not at this point in time deserve.
Of course it doesn't. And Michael Martin spoke wonderfully from the Rafah crossing. And he said what would happen there. He couldn't believe it. He said that what Israel was doing was genocide, and it was like unprecedented. And I have a statement here in front of me, which I'm doing, so I can't read it. And he said that they had stopped things like sleeping bags and orange juice going to children in Gaza that Israel had, because they were luxury items. So he has called out yesterday from Cairo and from the Rafah crossing very strongly. And all of us artists, thousands of us all over the world, what they did last night in America, Columbia University, people stayed out all night calling the government to do something. It's not just about the Eurovision, you know, it's about what's happening in Gaza. It's what Israel is doing to the people of Gaza. But what an opportunity for Bambi Thug to stand up to the whole lot of them and say, I'm not doing it. You know, I'm not doing it. I'm going to stand with the people of Palestine on this and not doing it. And she could reference that they made it political when they stopped Russia. That was my point, you know.
And a number of comments, you know, coming in.
The art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a number of comments coming in, and this is sort of typical of what's coming in. It's very easy for us to say that Bambi Thug should boycott the Eurovision, but when will they get an opportunity to get a prime European-wide TV slot and the publicity that brings again? They're an artist trying to make a successful career. They'll have an audience of millions. This is a never-to-be-repeated opportunity. Politics should not stand in the way of a career. Taking part does not indicate any favouritism toward Israel or any other participating country. And I think that's sort of typical of quite a few of the calls that are coming in.
It is, yeah. That my point was, what a platform with the only artist. Actually, she's not the only one. Other people have said that they will not be there. I think they are closed. But what a platform that would be for her, for them, Bambi Thug. And, to be remembered and to go down in history as somebody who stood for something that was on the right side, you know. Israel shouldn't be in the competition. The European Broadcasting Act, I cannot understand why they banned Russia for what they did to Ukraine. They banned them for that year and forever, not just for the year. So what is going on? Like, I mean, you know, and I really applaud what he said last night. He could just call it as a walk, you know.
Well, Mary Coughlin,
you know, we're having a number of events all over Ireland tonight.
Yeah, Mary,
Netherlands to Dublin, we're having. Okay.
Mary, I'm going to say goodbye and say thank you very much indeed. As I say, it wasn't a great line. We got the thrust of what you're saying, which I'm delighted about, because we really did want to hear your voice and hear your perspective. Mary Coughlin, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And all the best to you. That's Mary Coughlin there, calling us from a mountain in Connemara, I believe Mary lives these days. And what a wonderful place to live. Before we go for a break, just a few requests, actually. A very special young lady, Rita Bradley in Ballinafad. In Rathdonald, a happy birthday. Only four more until your big visit to Oras and Ochthoron. Have a great day. That's from John and Eileen Walsh. And if that's the John and Eileen I know, good morning to you both. Could you please play a request for a very special lady on her 97th birthday, Rita Bradley again. Hope you have a great day. That's from Colm, Siobhan, and from all the girls in Derry. Grocery stores seem to be asking you these days if you want a receipt. I thought we were entitled to a receipt. Why are they not giving out receipts? I think it's very much a paper-saving exercise. Someone asks you, do you want a receipt? I go to a local butcher's where I live, and they always ask me, do you want a receipt? And I always say, no, thank you, because I've never had to bring back one of their products, and I don't anticipate having to bring back one of their products in the near future. So I don't, if I'm in a shop and I'm buying something that patently, you know, be it bread or be it milk or whatever, that patently I'm not going to be bringing back, I don't. I turn down a receipt, I suppose. We do our little bit to save a bit of paper here and there, and if one of us saves one little bit of paper, it makes no difference whatsoever. If 10,000 of us save 100 bits of paper, then maybe that'll make a little bit of a benefit for the environment. Well, we spoke to Mary Coughlin before the break about the letter from over 400 artists, musicians, authors, actors, dancers to Bambi Thug, asking them to pull out of the Eurovision Song Contest. A couple of people called the station and made comments along the lines of, well, why should Bambi Thug ruin their career and pull out? Well, Tony joins us on the line. Tony, that's a question you want to answer.
Yeah, well, personally, well, not personally, I suppose, but I would have over 30,000 plus reasons for Ireland to pull out. And the 30,000 reasons are dead children, and mainly children and women have been massacred by the Israeli army. And listening to the news yesterday there again, when they come on mass graves, and of course the Israelis, you know, they're saying it's nothing to do with them, more or less. And you know it's horrific what those poor people are going through. I think there was an ex Israeli soldier on Channel 4 News yesterday explaining how the Israeli army look on these things, and they just it's more or less just shooting practice for them to kill children and to kill women. You know, it's just not right. I think the whole world at this stage are beginning to see the truth and what's happening.
One of the points that Mary Coughlin made, and indeed it was made by Maria Walsh MEP earlier on in the programme as well, is that there's a huge difference in the way Russia is treated at every level of Europe compared to the way Israel is being treated at the moment.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, the last Eurovision that was actually awarded to the Ukrainians, you know, they won the Eurovision last year, as far as I remember. Maybe I'm wrong.
It was the year before. It was the year before last.
Well, the year before. Oh, sorry, that was it, yeah. But, I mean, you have the Israelis, they're playing football in the European competition. They want to go into the Eurovision Song Contest. They want to do everything that would be a normal country would be doing, but Israel is not a normal country by the looks of it. You know, they seem to be, they're being armed to the teeth by America. It's like, they're like the 54th state of America, really. But it seems to, you know, that's what the problem seems to be, that anything they do, they can either deny it or whatever they want to do, you know.
Presumably RTE is going to go ahead with the broadcast of the Eurovision next month, as it usually does. Do you believe that RTE should consider not doing so?
Well, I think I don't really know what the position would be there, but, you know, it would be sending a message out to the Israelis, you know, that we're not happy with this, that it's not right what you are doing, killing innocent children and women. I mean, every child, when you think about every child you kill, they're more or less saying that's another possible terrorist, as he called them, say in 10 or 15 years' time. And another, a woman killed, she'll not be given birth, there'll be no births there for another, you know, that seems to be the policy. It's more or less just to eliminate them completely. Anyway, that's my point of view.
It is a difficult one, and there's some comments coming in backing what you're saying. Caller says, anyone that takes part in the Eurovision Song Contest is agreeing with Israel killing children. Also, it's a slap in the face for the Palestinian people. Whoever tunes in watching the Eurovision Song Contest in Israel and Ireland's entry should boycott it this year. So some comments definitely coming in agreeing with yourself and Mary Cochran as well. Tony, thanks indeed for speaking to us on the show today.
Thank you.
Okie doke, that's Tony. And before Tony, we heard from Mary Cochran, musician. Over 400 artists, musicians, actors, etc. signing that particular document. A number of them from Donegal, including John Muldowney, a musician who played a very key role in organising a recent gig in Ungwaden Theatre in support of the Palestinian Solidarity Campaign. Fadl Mustafa as well, also a big organiser of that particular gig. Fadl was offering his support as well. Caller saying, ask Paul, why do they plant trees on the main street and up at the old doctor's? If you're driving a large vehicle turning right, you have to cross to the wrong side of the road. That's a caller, I presume, relating to Newton Cunningham. Now, we're going to change our tack and we're going to go to South Donegal and speak to Wendy McCarry, who is the CEO of the Bluestack Foundation. And Wendy joins us this morning on Zoom. Wendy, good morning.
Good morning, Donal. How are you?
Very well indeed, thank you. Now, you are offering people a chance to do something that a lot of people dream of doing, but very few of us get to do, and that is to climb Mount Everest.
I know. So exciting, isn't it?
Yes. Except I suspect we're going to be doing it virtually, are we?
No. some of us will be doing it virtually and some of us will be rooting people on. But we have a strong cohort who will actually be going to Nepal and doing the trek with Wild and Free.
And that's taking place in March of 2025. But for those of us who perhaps aren't quite ready for Everest yet, there is an alternative.
Yeah, so, I mean, as you know, the Bluestack Special Needs Foundation, we've been operating for the last 20 years. You know, we rely so heavily on fundraised income. And this year, I suppose, we wanted to launch our Teddy Steady Go inclusive fundraising efforts. And, you know, there's three different ways that you can participate and support the foundation. You know, the foundation has come from very humble beginnings to now being, you know, countywide, offering services to over 540 families across the county, everything from respite to Saturday clubs, teen clubs. We have a lovely cafe here in the garden that's run predominantly by young adults with intellectual disabilities. We're taking over a new cafe down in Ballyshannon. You know, I suppose our core purpose and our core aim is to try and ensure that we can enhance the lives of people with additional needs and indeed their families and support them. As a parent myself, Donal, of a young 18-year-old, I know only too vividly how difficult it is when you have a child with disability to try and get the supports and services that you need. And look, what we're doing is only a little ripple in the ocean, but it is definitely having an impact, and our dream is to grow and get bigger and get better and offer more services and more supports for people. But we can't do that without fundraising, and fundraising is extremely important to us. You know, we wouldn't survive without the support of our community, without the community across Donegal. One of our big dreams is to try and move into the Letterkenny area. We have so many children and young adults who are coming from the other side of the gap. You know, we've children coming from Downings to our summer camps because there's nothing else available to them. And, you know, we've had this dream for a long time to try and move into Letterkenny and have a space there. We're already operating in Falkara, looking at other locations as well. So, you know, we're really keen to try and expand the organisation and to bring the services that we offer closer to those who really need them and who avail of the services.
And anyone who regularly listens to Greg on the Ninefold Noon Show will know the name of Bluestack Foundation. You and your colleagues have been regular guests on this programme. And one of the things that really shines through in all of these discussions, and you referenced it yourself earlier, is that Bluestack Foundation is something that grew right from the start, from the bottom up. This is a community initiative run by parents. And I mean, your hearts must be broken with all the fundraising you're doing, because it seems every day you've got to come up with a new fundraising initiative, and it never stops. I mean, you've in the past spoken about the need for more government support, the need for more recognition of what you're doing, and the need for more support for what you're doing. Is that improving, or are you still in the situation where everything you want, you have to raise the money yourself?
I mean, there are certain elements of our programme, Donal. You know, we have five different divisions across the organisation. So we have support from Pubble for our training and progression programme, which has 19 young adults involved in daily activities, training, workshops, work experience, employment opportunities. We have the community services programme, again, funded by Pubble. And that looks at kind of income generation. So we do disability equality training. We have the cafe. There's a whole range of kind of income generating social enterprise initiatives. And then we have our programs department. We've outreach as well, which is funded. Outreach is respite support services that we offer across the county. That's funded by the HSE and by TUSLA. And then we have our programs department, which is everything from our after school, our Saturday club, our teen club, our choir, our guitar lessons, summer camps, all those kind of activities that we offer. None of that is funded. So that's what we fundraise for, is those core and essential services. At the end of the day, we get 36,000 from the HSE per annum for our core funding. That comes nowhere near. It doesn't even pay our insurance. You know what I mean? It is, you know, and while we're very grateful to the HSE for their support, it's nowhere near the kind of funding that we need if we are to sustain ourselves, you know, or indeed have any dreams of growing and relocating or locating in new areas and bringing the services closer to the people who actually need it. So that's why we've started the Teddy Steady Go campaign, which is our new kind of campaign fundraiser. And this year, you know, we wanted to try and have a more coordinated effort because, like you say, we are regularly fundraising. And look, you know, it's not nice for any of us having to go out with the bucket all the time consistently fundraising. I have no problem fundraising and shaking the bucket if it's for programme activities for the beneficiaries, for the people who actually use the services. I've no problem with that. But it's very difficult when you're trying to pay your water bill or your electricity bill or your core expenses that you have. You know, we have over 30 staff that are employed with us at the moment. We offer services to 540 families, like I say. You know, it is a constant juggle financially to try and manage this. So the Teddy Steady Go is one of the solutions that we have come up with to have a coordinated effort in terms of our fundraising. There are three ways that you can participate. Like you said, one of them is Everest, and we have a strong cohort now, thankfully, going to Everest in March of next year. I think the one thing to maybe stress is that, you know, people are sometimes put off by things like that because they think, oh my God, I need to be really fit. And you know, but that's why people have to sign up now, because there'll be a full year of training advice and guidance that will happen before you actually go on the journey. So to sign up for the Everest trip, you can go to Wild and Free. The sign up date, there's an early bird offer if you sign up before May the 1st. And there is the rest of the sign ups then have to happen before May the 31st because they have to book flights and get the training kind of schedule set up. But there's other ways that you can participate and support the BlueStack Foundation in terms of the fundraising. You can do a virtual walk. We wanted to make sure that any fundraising we do this year is inclusive, that our members can actually participate in it. So it's really, you know, good that our members can actually do a fundraiser themselves to try and raise the funds for the organisation. And the third way that you can get involved is through a hike in Errigal that we're doing on the 6th of July. So again, if people are interested in supporting us, and we are so, so grateful, Donal, for any support we can get. I suppose if anybody wants to know more information, go on to BlueStackFoundation.com and you can find all the information there about the various ways that you can support the organisation.
In terms of Everest, are you talking about actually scaling to the peak, or are you talking about a trek at base camp level? Because obviously the level of training that would be needed for the peak would not be the sort of thing that the average punter can do in a couple of months. So you're talking the trek to base camp, basically, yeah.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
I mean, it's a really fascinating idea, and it's a really interesting one. I mean, obviously, as you say, people already are starting to be captured by this and looking at doing the Errigal Trek. I mean, it's going to be, people talk about it once in a lifetime. I mean, that is once in a lifetime, in fairness. It really is. I mean, you're hoping to get huge numbers, but I mean, obviously, the trek up Errigal on July 6th and the virtual walks and the virtual element are going to be very important as well. And the more people sign up, the better.
Like with my own son, my own daughter is 18, and we're going to try and get her. We started our fundraising now to try and get her up Errigal. She has four brothers and they're going to try and bring her up. She's a wheelchair user, but they're going to do their best to try and get her up Errigal. And I think, you know, for us, it's everybody has their own summit. Everybody has their own capacity. And I think we really wanted to make this fundraiser a fully inclusive fundraiser. Even if it's only walking a hill, or taking a few steps, you know, everybody has their own capacity, and that's what we wanted to try and create a fundraiser that everybody could participate in.
And important, as you say, too, that this is coming from the bottom up, and that your members and those who use your service are themselves going to get to do their own contribution to this. And that's good for their own self-esteem and for
Absolutely.
Their own selves as well.
Absolutely.
It gives them the sense of it's very
much theirs.
And that's
what inclusion is all
about. Yeah. Wendy, God bless the work, as they say, and hopefully it's a huge success over the coming months. And I know the work you're doing in the Donegal town area initially and now spreading out to areas like Fulcara is phenomenal, and it would be wonderful to see BlueStack Foundation develop a presence.
That's the absolute dream, to be able to open a space in Edmonton.
It would be excellent. And hopefully too, as well as the support you're no doubt going to get from the public, to see more support coming from government as well would be excellent.
It would be fantastic. Yeah. Can I also just give a shout out to all our volunteers? You know, we rely very heavily on our volunteers. We've over 90 volunteers with the organisation, and we simply could not do what we do without them. They are just absolutely incredible. And to all your listeners, just to thank everybody, you know, for listening to us, for considering us and trying to support us to move forward.
Wendy, All the best with it over the coming months. We'll keep a close eye on the way things are going. And I mean, I don't even have to say it. Do keep in touch with the programme. I know that Greg and Caroline are on a regular basis, and that's going to continue into the future. Wendy, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thanks so much indeed, Donal. Have a nice day.
It's our pleasure as always. You too. Right, and that's Wendy there, and that initiative on Everest taking place in March of next year. And of course, if you want to stay closer to home, there's a trek up Errigal on July 6th this year. Now, a comment has come in, and this is an important one. I just want to voice a major concern this morning about the road from the Tannery Hotel into the Polestar roundabout in Letterkenny. Two ambulances in an emergency situation with lights flashing and sirens blazing were unable to get through the traffic. Cars tried their best to move. However, the volume of traffic on that road this morning at 9 made it very difficult for cars to manoeuvre out of the way for the two ambulances to get through. I know this has been noted before. However, this permanent concrete bollard is ridiculous. Much better use of the area, such as for emergency vehicles to get through to reach the hospital, would have been more appropriate. What was witnessed this morning is truly appalling. As a nurse, I have absolutely no doubt that some patients will suffer dire consequences purely due to the fact that they're unable to reach the acute hospital in a timely manner. The fact in 2024 that a concrete bollard in the middle of the road, leaving cars nowhere to manoeuvre to let ambulances past, is a shambles and should not be allowed. That's a comment that has come in from a nurse who witnessed that situation develop on the four-lane road between the Clanry Hotel, between effectively the Dry Arch and the Polestar roundabout, and that happened this morning. And that is food for thought.